He's really good at science.
Science!
And also at biology.
I'm ever so thrilled to be here.
He'll answer all your questions.
Science Wednesdays with Dr. Carl. Dr. Carl, how are you?
Ever so peachy keen, ready to rock, man.
Well, I'm not going to lie, it's been a stressful couple of days for myself after reading crazy headlines about the moon wobble. What do we know about the moon wobble? Is the moon really wobbling?
Yes, got a bunch of motions, and what looks like happening is that every, so many years, you just get a whole series of destructively large tides, and that, combined with global warming and the rising of the ocean, means that there'll be periods of peak tides, which will cause extra devastation.
Was it just a one wobble, or is it constantly wobbling at the moment? If someone was on the moon, would they feel the wobble?
No, you wouldn't feel it. There's a whole bunch of minor movements of the moon as it goes around the Earth. It goes how about this for a big surprise? You know how they tell you that the moon goes around the Earth?
Mm.
It doesn't.
Well, that is a big surprise.
But anyway, so there are various motions in the moon's orbit. The moon causes 2/3 of the tides, and the sun causes 1/3. And various little wobbles and mutations and things that it does can mean that every 10 to 15 years we get sort of pretty darn big tides, a whole series of them. And ocean level rise is real. We've been watching it for a while.
Oh, yes, I've been watching it for a while too. There is there's an accidental decline from coronavirus getting around. There's been a drop in asthma.
Yeah.
Good news for asthmatics.
That was actually a real surprise, because what happens with asthma is that around the world each year, out of the population of roughly, 8.5 billion, 1/3 of a billion people are affected by asthma, 1/3 of a billion people, and roughly, I think, 500,000 die each year, mostly in the developing world. We've got a long history of it. It was recognized by the Egyptians, ancient Egyptians, 5,000 years ago, and Hippocrates gave it the name asthma from the Greek word for panting. And then there was a weird period, we didn't really understand it. And then from the 1930s to the 1950s, it was thought to be a psychological disease, so they'll try to fix it to you by talking to you. And then they started using steroids and short-acting beta agonists in the 50s and 60s. And there's still a major disease. In Australia, it kills 1,000 people a year, roughly, most of them young and healthy.
Well, there was always an asthma kid at my school. You remember the asthma kid?
Yeah, but asthma is not a disease. It's a symptom. Asthma, which is the narrowing of the airways, is a common end symptom of about 17 different diseases, which is why there are so many different treatments, because steroids will work on one person but not another, but then the salbutamol will work on another, and so it goes. And it turns out that there was an accidental study set up with really accidentally nice timing just before we went into lockdown around the world, before the COVID-19 hit. In America, they set up a study with 1,200 people looking at how they could make their lives better with asthma, and looking specifically at people who suffered from asthma more so on a percentage basis. We're talking African-Americans and Hispanic Latinos. And so they had it all set up. It took them about 15 months to get it all set up, and they had all of the raw data on how much asthma they had. And then they said, okay, now we'll do it for the next 2 years. And bang, COVID-19 hit. And the number of visits to emergency departments dropped by 40%. We're not too sure why. It was more so in people who actually left the home. There's something going on which will give us a really good clue for making life better for people with asthma as an accidental result of having COVID-19 go raging around the planet for us.
Well, love a silver lining when it comes to big spicy cough. What's this I hear about flat pack pasta?
Well, when you get some pasta, and by the way, real pasta, Italian stuff, is made with semolina flour and water and nothing else. And when you get pasta in a cardboard box, mate, it's about 60% air. Oh, my God, time for some efficiency. Now, when you put it in the water, it softens and it gains the water in through the surface. Everything happens through the surface. And so somebody was thinking, what if we do flat pack pasta, but in the surface we engrave tiny lines, say a millimeter across, and depending on the patterns that they made with these lines, you pull out this dead flat pack pasta, drop it in the water, and it would turn into tubes or spirals or salads.
I don't mind that. Almost just even as like a fun little food watching experiment anyway. Well, is this available to all types of pasta? Penne's? Rigatoni's?
Well, they're just discovering it. Somebody thought, why don't we do it? And so you heard it here first. So in 10 years' time, when everybody has flat pack pasta, you say, oh, I remember that back in 2021. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what else is getting people's knickers in a twist. There's this bloke online, and he's all over TikTok. Ugh, TikTok. And the guy says that he gets his he's got his AstraZeneca shot, and then he also went and got a Pfizer shot, and then he got his second Astra and his second Pfizer, and he's also going to go and get a Moderna when they come through as well. Are people better off if you just say there was an infinite amount of vaccines? Would you be better off with all the vaccines?
Don't know. We're finding out by the pathway of this person doing the experiment. The thing about the human body is that there are so many complicated interactions that you don't really know what can go on. So there's all these little subtleties that you don't learn about when you do your learning medicine online via a 1 hour every Tuesday night for 3 months. No. That's why I remember when I went to university, it just hit me straight between the eyes. Like the first week, we had about 50 hours of lectures, and it was like that for 48 weeks a year. And you do that for 10 years, you know. There's a lot of stuff you've got to suck into your brain.
Yeah, that's why I stayed down in the arts department, Dr. Carl. Just did a couple of lectures, a couple of shoots, and I was out of there by Thursday. Managed to tweak my timetables for a four-day week.
Wow, well done.
It still took me 10 years, though. Weird.
Yeah.
Hey, here's another question. Do we know if we could have eaten dinosaurs? Would dinosaurs have been edible meat, you reckon?
Oh, sure. Food on the macronutrient level is broken into three varieties: fat, proteins, and carbohydrates. And animal flesh is basically just protein. There's no, birds are dinosaurs, right?
Sure.
Birds are dinosaurs, right? That particular branch of the dinosaurs never died out, and we can eat birds, so presumably we can eat the rest of the dinosaurs. They would have had the same amino acids making up their protein. So I'm putting it that 99.9% we could have eaten dinosaurs.
Nice. I think it would have been that real lean meat as well. Big T-Rex leg.
But there were so many different types of dinosaurs that some of them might have been fatty and some of them might be lean. And by the way, pterosaurs were not dinosaurs.
Oh, pterodactyl.
Yeah, pterodactyl. So pterodactyl is a subset of the dinosaurs. And people wrongly believe that pterodactyls were two-legged flying dinosaurs, and only one of those things is true. They weren't two-legged. They were actually four-legged. They were not dinosaurs, but they were flying, and they could take off from a standing start.
Right. Well, you got the Land Before Time cartoons to thank for that myth.
And Raquel Welch running around in a fur bikini fighting off those... Were they pterodactyls?
Oh, yes. Well, I wasn't really watching the pterodactyls. I was too busy watching the fur bikini, unfortunately.
Well, let's not get sexist.
That's not sexist. That's just me valuing a woman in a bikini higher than a dinosaur.
Oh. One day we'll have you spontaneously say, boo the patriarchy, and then I'll know that my work has been done.
Oh, Dr. Carl, good on you. Of course, Dr. Carl's little book of climate change science is available in all good bookstores. Well worth the read, and we'll chat to you next Wednesday.
Ever so peachy keen.